A happy Resurrection Sunday to each one of you, and wish you a blessed Easter also. The Lord is risen. He is risen indeed. And let's start for today's scripture portion. And before that, I also like to say that the singing was really a blessed time of worship, including the special song. Our worship begins right from the start, and we thank God for it. So now we'll move into our scripture portion, and I almost said, turn with me to 1 John. In fact, I prepared a sermon also. Then I realized it's a Resurrection Sunday. So please turn with me to Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, chapter 3 and the first 4 verses. The theme from Colossians is, Colossians, it emphasizes the supremacy and sufficiency of Christ, urging believers to remain steadfast in faith. That's what the theme for the whole book is. And the purpose of Paul's letter is he's writing to the Colossian believers, whom most likely he had not met them. And his purpose has been there to, for always this outside infiltration, the false teachers infiltrating the church. And this particular church likely also to have been established by the Lord himself through the work of Epaphras. And Paul wrote to confirm Christ's supremacy and sufficiency for all the matters. So there are 4 chapters. We are into chapter 3, the first 3-4 verses. And Paul instructs the Colossians on how to live as new creations in Christ, urging them to set your hearts on things above and to put on virtues like compassion, kindness, and love. So we come to the text, first 4 verses of chapter 3. Therefore, if you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on the things above, not on the things that are on earth. For you died, and your life has been hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, is manifested, then you also will be manifested with him in glory. So in these verses, we see that Paul reminds believers that since they have been raised with Christ, and their focus must shift from earthly concepts to heavenly realities, the truth of heaven, where Christ reigns at the right hand of God. And he emphasizes that the true life, it is now hidden with Christ. And that the future glory will be revealed when Christ himself appears. Now if you notice the first 4 verses, something interesting. Paul says in verse 1, with Christ. And then he says, it's again in verse 1, where Christ. Then verse 3, with Christ. Then in verse 4, when Christ. And then who is our life shall manifest or appear. Then shall he also appear, manifest. There it is again, with him in glory. So with Christ, where Christ, with Christ, when Christ, and with him. So the emphasis is pretty clear in these 4 verses. Having Christ is having everything. He is the center of our resurrection life. And the conscious preoccupation of the believer is to be on Christ. That is what it means when he is saying, seek the things that are above. You know, set your minds on the things that are above. Get your preoccupation, be preoccupied with Christ. He is the center of your life. So from this we acquired the theme for this text as two responsibilities of the believer waiting awaiting the glorious return of Christ. The passage, Colossians 3, 1 to 4, it ideally ties the resurrection hope to daily Christian living. Believers are raised with Christ, called to live with heavenly priorities, and you're assured of future glory. And so the moment you become a believer, you are risen with Christ. You live his resurrected life, his resurrection life. So first to observe is, live like one who is raised with Christ, who is risen with Christ. Therefore, this portion he starts off with, therefore. And it connects the reader to the preceding chapter of 1 and 2. You know, and he's connecting that and he's telling, now look ahead. The important things to happen. And that's what he writes. Discussing about the believer's union with Christ in his death and resurrection. So he starts off with therefore. And then he says, if you have been raised up with Christ. And this is like many other important truths. This is it's a statement of fact. And it is prefaced with a conditional if. The if makes the fact more emphatic and helps the reader check whether the statement is clear. Here, if is a certainty. If you have been raised up with Christ, live out the resurrected life. And this happens when you repent of your sins, hand over your life to the Lord Jesus Christ, acknowledging him as your Lord and Savior, you both die with him and are raised to newness of life with him, in him. So the New Testament makes the statement of reality over and over again. You are no longer in sin. You are freed from sin and the grip that it has on us, that it holds on to us. You can live with completely new life. You can be different from what you used to be. Your habits, attitudes, thinking, actions, relationship, and everything else can be and should be holy and pure. God has raised you from this old life and given you a brand new life in Christ. Romans 8:11. If the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead, you know, in these first two sentences itself, we see the triune God, spirit of him who raised Jesus. He, that is God who raised Christ, the triune God is there, you know, from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies. Now, we are involved here. We are given the life to our bodies through his spirit. That is what Paul is writing and telling us. And he's telling us that by the power of his spirit, the Father raised the Son from the dead. And by that same spirit, believers' mortal bodies will be raised at the Son's return in glory. So we observe the believer's life is a life that is risen with Christ. God loves his Son, Jesus Christ. God loves him with an eternal and a perfect love. Therefore, when a person believes, he really surrenders his life to Christ. God forgives the person's sins and accepts him in Christ. God actually identifies the person with Christ in his death and in his resurrection. God begins to consider the person as having died and risen with Christ. The new believer, he was not bodily present when Christ died and he rose. But God considers the believer to have been there. God reckons it. He credits and counts it so. So we need to remember we are in union with Christ. God does this for us because he loves his Son Jesus Christ to the fullest extent. God loves him so much that when we believe in Christ for all that he has done for us, God does exactly what we believe. He does this because our belief focuses on Christ and because it is God's Son. God counts our belief as the real value. He counts us as having actually died and risen with Christ. This means a most wonderful thing. It means that we are in union with Christ. We are identified with Christ. Our faith in Christ has placed us in Christ. Therefore, whatever Christ has experienced, we experience. When he rose from the dead, we are risen with him, in union with him. And his resurrection means that we have risen with him, we have conquered death, that is, we are raised to a new life, and our old sinful life in this world, it is over. It is no longer a claim upon us. We are, as stated, raised to the newness of life. We are walking in newness of life day by day, living a life that is dead to sin, but alive to God, alive to righteousness, alive to holiness. Therefore, the call is to live like one who is raised with Christ, who is risen with Christ. Secondly, seek the things above where Christ is. Seek the things above where Christ is. Keep seeking the things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Now, where is above? Where is Christ? What is to be found where Christ sits at the right hand of God? Christ is in heaven. So the believer should seek the things that are in heaven. Let's look at the meaning. Set your mind on godly things above. Seek those things which are above. The meaning is clear and pointedly explains in two statements. First, seek those things above where Christ sits on the right hand of God. That is, seek heavenly things, the things of heaven. Secondly, set your affections, your mind on things above and not on things of the earth. The word affections means mind. To set your focus, your mind constantly on heavenly things, not on earthly things. So very simply, the things of Christ and of heaven are to consume the believer's life and mind constantly. As the believer keeps his mind and on the things of Christ, he must know what those things are. Therefore, the question naturally arises, what are the things of Christ and the things of heaven which are to consume our thoughts? The things above, it refers to spiritual values and priorities that reflect God's kingdom. You know, it's contrasting with the temporal and often sinful nature of earthly pursuits. The exhortation here encourages the believers to align their thoughts and actions with a heavenly citizenship. Matthew 6, verses 19-21. Our Lord tells us, "Do not store up for yourself treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourself treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, where thieves do not break in or steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." So the Christian who is risen with Christ, he has a new focus. He has a new focal point. He has a new direction. Just like the compass needle that is drawn always to the north. So his spirit is drawn to the heavenlies to be occupied with Jesus Christ. The resurrection of Christ tells us what the things of Christ and of heaven are. It is his resurrection that allows us to be raised with Christ. We need to remember that we actually take part and participate in the resurrection of Christ. When we accept Christ, God places us in Christ positionally. He begins to see us in Christ. It is because of this glorious position which God has given us that we should seek the things of Christ and of heaven. Now, what does resurrection mean to me, or to you? What does it mean? It means a lot. Along with the virgin birth, the deity of Christ, Jesus' atonement for sin, it means a lot. A lot more than what we can even understand, and we get a glimpse of it by reading the scriptures. The fact that Jesus rose from the dead, it is fundamental to it. It's the basic to our faith, is the resurrection. To believe in the resurrection is to believe in God. The fact that Jesus rose from the dead, it matters because it fulfilled prophecies. The Old Testament prophesied Jesus' resurrection, and so did Jesus. He prophesied his resurrection. Mark 8:31. And he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed. And after 3 days, rise again. Does the resurrection give us a confidence of life in Christ, of the future? Yes, indeed, it does. The resurrection of Jesus Christ, it has done at least 7 wonderful things for us. And the 7 things, it should consume our thoughts, our minds, and our lives, and our praise, and our prayer of our lips. If you meditate, you'll get a lot of these points that lead, the thoughts that follow after resurrection. And I've got about 7 points here. We'll spend some time in it. Firstly, the resurrection of Christ shows and guarantees that Christ is the Son of God. Our thoughts should focus on this glorious fact that God sent his Son into the world to save us. Romans 1:3-4. Concerning us, his Son, who was born of the seed of David according to the flesh, who was designated as a Son of God in power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, Jesus Christ claimed that he was Son of God, and he possessed God's very own nature. He was one with the Father. He claimed time and again that God was his Father. When God raised Jesus Christ from the dead, God set his seal to Christ's claim. And by the resurrection, God declared that Christ is his own dear Son. And then we see the resurrection of Christ, it saves and it justifies us, believers, justifies us through Christ. The glorious truth of salvation and justification, it should consume our thoughts and praise all day, all throughout our life. Romans 4:25, he who was delivered over on account of our transgression. You know, he was delivered for our transgression, and he was raised on account of our justification. Who delivered up Jesus? Was it Judas? Pilate? The Jewish Sanhedrin? Satan? Herod? Certainly all these were casual agents in the crucifixion of Christ. But ultimately, it was a sovereign God who brought it to pass in order to fulfill his plan of redemption for each of us. He did it for us. The plan of predestination had to take place. The Father delivered up Jesus for our trespasses, for our sins, and raised him up because he was holy, raised him up so that the righteous servant Christ to justify many people. Christ's death and resurrection, the death and resurrection are two indivisibles. You can't divide it. But different aspects of the one saving faith. In his death, Christ bore the legal penalty for our guilt that was for our sin. And in raising Jesus Christ from the dead, the Father justifies Jesus, nullifying the sentence of death because of his holiness and declared him to be righteous. The fact that Jesus rose from the dead, it matters a lot. Because our justification hangs on it. A dead Savior cannot save. But we have a living Savior who justifies us and he makes intercession for us regularly, constantly. Concerned of us. Thirdly, the resurrection of Christ gives us or raises us up from, raises us to a new life. A life that is abundant and eternal. Romans 6:4, therefore we were buried with him through baptism unto death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. There is buried, death, raised, glory, newness. We are united by faith in him, as baptism it symbolizes his death and burial and resurrection. It becomes ours. Newness of life is truly only if in Christ we died and we are buried with him. We have been united with him in his resurrection. There is a new quality and character in our lives, a new principle of life. This speaks of the believer's regeneration, his restoration, his regrowing. Whereas sin describes his old life of decay, righteousness describes the new life in Christ. We are joined today to a living Christ in newness of life. In other words, our sins have already been judged. We are already raised and we have been seated with Christ in the heavenlies. There are only two places for your sins. Either they were on Christ when he died on the cross 2000 years ago, because you have trusted him as your Savior, or they remain in you today for not knowing who your Savior is. They will remain with you, the sins. The resurrection of Christ gives us power to live victoriously over the sin. Point four. The trials of this world, it gives us victoriously to over sin, over the trials of this world, and to bear fruit of God, the Spirit, as we walk through this world. He gives us the power. Galatians 5:22-25. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Under such things there is no law. Now those who belong to Christ, Jesus, crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. And so if we live by the Spirit, we also walk in step with the Spirit. Imagine living a truly life of power and strength, bearing the fruit of Christ's Spirit as we walk day by day, everywhere we go, conquering sins by his grace and walking through the trials of life victoriously. It is as though our union with Christ, that we receive his power through our union with him. We receive his power to triumphantly walk day by day. Christians must wait until their glorification before they are finally rid of their unredeemed humanness. Yet by walking in the Spirit, they can praise the Lord, they can please God in this world. Fifthly, the resurrection gives us a living hope and a hope of glory. So our minds and praises should focus on the glory of heaven, which shall be ours when either God takes us home or when Christ returns. 1 Peter 1:3-4. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Christ Jesus from the dead. To obtain an inheritance, incorruptible, undefiled, and unfading, having been kept in heaven for you, having been kept in heaven for you. The living hope, it is an eternal hope. Hope comes from God. It is a gift of grace. Hope is secured by the resurrection of Christ our Lord. Hope is fulfilled in Christ's return. Hope is confirmed by, it's confirmed in a Christian by the Holy Spirit. Peter encourages his readers by reminding them that through the resurrection of Christ, God had caused them to be born again. The result of this new birth is that they have acquired an eternal inheritance received in heaven. Believers will be delivered to heaven, their eternal home, the final home, through their faith in the gospel. The resurrection guarantees our resurrection. His resurrection guarantees our resurrection. Our thoughts and praises should center upon the wonderful praise of the new and glorious body God has promised to give us. Romans 6:5. For we have become united with him in the likeness of his death. Certainly we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. United, likeness of his death, likeness of his resurrection. And those who by faith are united to Christ in his death and resurrection have died to sin and have been raised to a new life. We know that believers have not yet experienced the resurrection. However, we have the assurance of this future reality. This is possible by the fact that in Christ we shall be with him in the likeness of his death, and we shall be with him in the likeness of his resurrection. Christ was the first to permanently rise up from the dead. This is a full resurrection I'm talking about, clearing the way for a future resurrection for all who believe. He's the first one to rise. And we as believers are guaranteed, you know, we are being carried along with Christ to the glorious end. And then we see, lastly, the resurrection assures that Christ, that God will judge the world by Christ. Our minds and prayers should be focused upon evangelism. And the terrible fact is that the judgment is coming. Our Lord tells us in John 5:27-29, he tells us, and he gave them authority to execute judgment because he is the Son of Man. Do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming in which all who are in the tombs will hear his voice and will come forth, those who did the good deeds to a resurrection of life. Note that one. Good deeds to the resurrection of life. And who committed the evil deeds to a resurrection of judgment. To a resurrection of judgment. Christ claimed that God had committed all judgment to him. And he's the one whom God has appointed to judge the world. God stamped his approval to what Christ said by raising him from the dead. Christ himself shall judge the world. And the hour is coming. This is what our Lord tells us. Do not marvel, for the hour is coming. You know, his voice, Jesus' voice, will summon the physically dead from the grave either to enjoy eternal life or to endure condemnation. The good deeds to a resurrection of life, the evil deeds to a resurrection of judgment. Now in this context, the good is believing in the Son as to receive a new nature that produces good works. while the evil done is to reject the sun by the unsaved. And they hate the light, which has the results of evil deeds. And then we come to the reason. The reason you are now dead to sin and covered by Christ's sacrifice. For you died and your life has been hidden with Christ in God. Note the two reasons why we are to seek the things of Christ of heaven. The two reasons. Because we are dead and our lives are hid with Christ in God. So the believer is dead. For you died. This phrase, it refers to the spiritual death that occurs when a believer accepts Christ. He is not actually dead, but he still lives upon earth. But God counts the believer dead in the death of Christ. When Christ died, the believer died. Right along with Christ in God's mind. God counted it so. And whatever God counts so, it is a fact. Therefore, the believer is actually dead in God's mind. This means a significant fact. A dead man is, he is freed from sin. For a dead man no longer lives for this earth. He lives for the next world. Since we are dead, we are to seek the things of Christ and of heaven, not of earthly things in any way. And the death here is metaphorical, representing a decisive break from the past life of sin. Historically, this aligns with the early Christian practice of baptism, symbolizing death of the old life and resurrection to a new life in Christ. And then we see the believer is hid with Christ. What does this mean? The notion of being hidden suggests security and protection. It means that God counts the believer hid in the resurrection and in the life of Christ. When Christ rose, he rose to a new life, not to his old life. It's a new life. He had just died to the old life once for all. Therefore, when the believer is said to be hid with Christ, it means that God counts the believer risen with Christ. God counts the believer to a new life. He belongs to a new life. God sees the believer hid in Christ day by day. God sees the believer walking in Christ and in Christ's righteousness. And because he is in Christ, the believer sets his mind upon things above, upon the things of Christ and of heaven. And he sets his mind and life upon the things that pleases Christ, that honors Christ, that glorifies Christ. Additionally, when you are hid in Christ, Christ is the only one that God sees as living. Christ is your life in the eyes of God, the life in which you live. You live and move and have your being and you roam around the life of Christ. Everything is with Christ. You are not seen living and moving, for you are hid in Christ. Christ is the only life, the only body that is seen by God. And that is to be seen by the world. Now, this aligns with the biblical theme of God as a refuge, a fortress, and it's seen in Psalm 27:5. For he will hide me in his shelter. In the day of trouble, he will conceal me, hide me, conceal me under the cover of his tent. He will lift me up high upon a rock. That is what the psalmist wrote. We need to think how surrendered and given over to Christ we are to be. So given over that Christ's life is all that is seen in us. How such a thing is possible? By seeking those things which are above, where Christ sits. by setting our minds on things above, not on things on the earth. My life is hid with Christ in God. It means I have a new life, all wrapped up with Him, hidden in Christ, wrapped up in Him. It's concealed from the world, but it's secure with Him. You know, it's like the little babies, you know, wrapped up in parental care, covered up, like a cocoon, protected. Once hid, there should be no distractions also for the individual. On a practical day-to-day living, I can say the distractions, switch off the television set, set aside your phones, magazines, novels if you have any. As soon as you wake up in the morning, what is the first thing that you give priority for the day? Grab the Bible, meditate and pray through the word and memorize and live out the word. We have here at least 5 devotionals. You can pick up one page a day you can read. It's available in our bookshop. In addition to that, get alone and pray. At least every morning and evening to learn in silence. Whisper a prayer every few minutes. Surrender your life totally to Christ. Present your body as a living sacrifice to God, to know, to believe, understand Him, and to make Him known. To make Him known to yourself, to your family members, to those you come across. And we need to draw near to Him. There is no way to know apart from setting up our minds upon Him. Therefore, let us do it. And do it now by getting a 2-hour silent place, a quiet place, secret place of prayer and seeking His face with a renewed commitment. Now, why all this? The Lord has done great things for us, whereof we are glad. The Lord has done this. Our lives are hid with Christ, Colossians 3:3. We live, yet not as us, but Christ lives in us, Galatians 2:20. We are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus might be made manifest in our lives. 2 Corinthians 4:11. For us to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Philippians 1:21. We know this, we have passed from death into life, therefore let us live for Christ. 1 John 3:14. And then we come to the reward. The reward, you will appear in glory. That is the reward. You will appear in glory in heaven with Christ. You have been hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is our life, is manifested, then you also will be manifested with Him in glory. He appears with us. He in glory. We will appear with Him in glory. Note the reward for being hid in Christ, for seeking the things of Christ and of heaven, and the reward is that of appearing with Christ in glory. Think for a moment. God sees us hid in Christ, therefore we are risen with Christ. It means that being risen from the dead, we never have to die. Christ already lives in the presence of God. Since God sees us hid in Christ, God sees us in His presence. He has already accepted us. And being in His presence forever and ever, all because we are hid in Christ. Now, in practical terms, we are still on earth. God has left us here to be witnesses for Him. But when He is ready to take us to heaven, what happens? What happens is this. When we confront death in the last second, in the last moment, right before we are to leave this world for the next, God shall fix our minds upon Jesus and immediately transport us into His heavenly kingdom. So the conclusion is, deliverance from death, preserve unto preserved unto eternal life. This is what Apostle Paul is expressing. He is expressing it in 2 Timothy 4:18. This is what he is telling us. And the Lord shall deliver me. That is he is expressing. And that is relevant to us also. The Lord shall deliver me from every evil work and will preserve me. He says the Lord will deliver me, he will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. The phrase preserve me unto heavenly kingdom is a picture of God bringing Paul safely into God's kingdom. The same hope that believers can have. It is a picture of God transporting Paul right through this world into the next world. It's a picture of time, of unbroken time. God preserves Paul right through the time into eternity. In one moment of time, Paul is living in this world, conscious and aware. But within the same moment, in a split second, he is transported into God's heavenly kingdom. And that one moment of time happens quicker than the blinking of an eye, which is 11/100 of a second. Just imagine, there is no loss of consciousness, no experience or awareness of death. One moment Paul is a citizen of the world, and with the same split moment, he stands before the Lord as a citizen of his kingdom. It's a beautiful picture of the believer never having to taste death. The phrase twinkling of an eye or the blinking of an eye, it appears in 1 Corinthians 15:52, where Apostle Paul, he describes the resurrection of the dead, the transformation of the living at the return of Christ. It states that at the sound of the last trumpet, the dead will be raised incorruptible and the living will be changed. It's an imagery conveys a change so swift that it happens as quickly as the blink of an eye, highlighting the suddenness and divine power that is involved in the change. God will give us, the believers, a fixation of mind. That is a persistent focus. And we will never taste or experience death. Note that the verse has to do with the return of Christ. When Christ returns, we shall appear or return with him in glory. There is to be a new heaven and earth, and Christ is to reign forever and ever. And we are to reign with him, to reign with in glory with Christ. This is what MacArthur gives a summary of. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is the single greatest event in the history of the world. It is foundational to Christianity that no one who denies it can be a true Christian. Without resurrection, there can be no Christian faith, no salvation, and no hope. If there is no resurrection of the dead, Paul explains, not even Christ has been raised, and if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is vain, our faith is also in vain. 1 Corinthians 15:13-14. A person who believes in Christ, who is not raised, believes in a powerless Christ, a dead Christ. If Christ did not rise from the dead, then no redemption was accomplished at the cross. And your faith is worthless. Paul goes on to say, you are still in your sin. But we have a risen Lord. He is risen. He is risen indeed. Let's pray. Gracious Father, we thank you for reminding us that our lives are hidden with Christ in you, Lord. And as we set our hearts on things above, strengthen us to turn away from the earthly distraction and fix our gaze on the risen Lord. May our thoughts, desire, and actions reflect the glory of Christ, who is our life. Help us, Lord, to walk daily in the hope of his appearing, knowing that when he is revealed, we too will share in his glory. Keep us steadfast, humble, and faithful until that day, Lord. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.